Hey, Green Future Growers and Progressive Radio Network listeners. This is Jackie Marie Beyer, your host for the Organic Gardener Podcast. And I just want to say thanks so much for listening. I hope you subscribe on iTunes or your favorite Android app, podcast app. And if you haven't been to our website, I hope you'll check out the organicgardenerpodcast.com. If you go there, you can download our 7 awesome ways to save time in the garden. You can also find a link to free garden course where you can learn how to grow a garden if you're a new gardener, or how to expand into market farming if you want to learn how to expand your mini farm, etc. And just there's a little bit of something there for everyone. And also, you know, check out the 2018 Garden Journal and Data Keeper, and the 2018 Garden Goals Challenge. You can listen to all in one episode. So thanks again for listening, and let's get growing.
The Organic Gardener Podcast is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/OGP to support the show and see if you qualify. Health IQ customers save between 4 to 33% on their life insurance. These savings are exclusive to Health IQ customers because physically active people have a lower risk of heart disease, cancer, and diabetes compared to people who are inactive. Learn more and get a free quote at healthiq.com/OGP. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. Today, I am just thrilled to introduce my featured guest, who is another rock star millennial. His name's Ryan Eggery, and he's going to talk to us about hydroponics from his new business, Hope Innovations. So another surprising visionary who's going to share with us something I think a lot of listeners are just going to love. So welcome to the show, Ryan.
Hey, thanks a lot there, Jackie. It's actually a real pleasure being on here. Thank you.
Well, I'm just, you know, my listeners know I love millennials, and so I'm excited to, so now, and you're just north of me in Canada, right? So do you want to tell listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. My name is Ryan Eggery. I'm from a small town called Edson in Alberta, Canada. I'm also the founder of Hope Innovations. Hope stands for Hydroponic Optimized Personal Environments. So our goal is to make it so anybody can have food wherever they live, whether it's bad climate or you just don't have space to grow. You can do it year round and affordably, and just making it accessible for everybody, chemical free, to have their own food. From a young age, I've always had a knack for kind of building, designing, creating, troubleshooting. This was evident when I was 12. I entered in a Kinects competition. I don't know if you've heard of Kinects. It's kind of like Lego with connectors and rods.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. I entered in a competition. I ended up winning for North America for my age group. And it's just been something I've always been passionate about. I love designing and creating. So naturally, I thought I'd get into engineering after school. But after doing some job fairs and I talked to engineers and people in the trade, I don't know, they kind of soured me to the idea. So it wasn't quite what I wanted. I wanted a job where I could kind of design, create, build what I had in my mind and try and improve things, and find it that job really doesn't exist, except for, I guess, what I'm doing now. So I'm hoping I can make that job still work. And I kind of did, I guess, what a lot of people do out of high school, which is just do what their friends are doing. So all my friends just started getting jobs around Edson. So if there are any people in high school listening, definitely do university, even if you're not sure what you're going to do, because that education's invaluable. You won't lose. So I ended up just, there's a lot of, it's mainly lumber, oil and gas, and coal. So I graduated in 2008, right when the recession hit. So you'd be dropping off resumes as people are putting up out of business signs, which is always a confident way to go into the job market. But eventually I got a job, and I worked hard, and they liked me, and I did really well. I ended up running some facilities and just working my way up. But I was never really happy. I wanted to scratch that itch to build and design things and kind of do what I did kind of as a kid. So I always, you see stories of people that do these kind of things, and they always seem like they're the geniuses, right? They got PhDs in something, or they've been doing something for 50 years, and it's really intimidating to think that someone who's just coming out of school has the know-how to break into a market that just seems so competitive. But after watching shows like Shark Tank, the Canadian version, which is Dragon's Den, which is a lot like Shark Tank, just fewer zeros on the end of those numbers. But I started to realize there's everyday people that are doing that. They see a problem, they come up with a solution, and they're able to really be successful and do something that they love. So I started reading a whole bunch of books on successful people and just getting a better idea on how these, you know, geniuses like, you know, Steve Jobs and people who we think of as just the pinnacle of entrepreneurs, where they started and how they're not really a whole lot further ahead than me and a lot of people that are coming out of school. And it gave me the confidence that this is something I could do. I just needed an idea. So I was lucky I had a good job. I'd been socking away money for about 5 years. So I had kind of the money to start funding an idea. And then I finally got the idea, which was, yeah, a bit of an epiphany. It's a whole story on in and of its own, but it relied around the idea of growing food in areas where we're not growing food and really trying to utilize a small footprint and take places where we either don't have the weather, you don't have the space, and really try and pump out as much food as possible out of these places. And it drew me into hydroponics, started looking at the feasibility, and it was more just, I guess, an idea, talk with the family and get kind of excited. But to start with, we thought, hey, hydroponics seems like the way to start. So let's give it a whirl. And we went to Walmart or Canadian Tire or Costco and realized they don't exist. You can't get a hydroponic kit. You can't just go and pick up an indoor garden and set it up in your house and start growing things. So we thought that was odd. Not yet. That's right. That's where we're hopefully coming in. That's what we thought was odd. So, that was the first kick. We're like, you know what? This is something I think people need. And then we started Hope Innovations, about 2 years of development, design, removing a whole bunch of really complicated steps that we think we nailed it. We got a nice, it's affordable, it's super simple, and it grows things like crazy. So that's that would be, I guess, the story in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, I already have like so many questions. And I kind of want to hear that story because, you know, that's part of your journey and just like, where did that original idea come from? But before we go there, because I've already got a chance to go to your website and just seen some of the awesome pictures of what you've got going on there. And then when I was looking through your Facebook site, like now I see why your designs look like they were made by an engineer because you have that engineering background there. So tell listeners exactly, because we haven't really said anything, like tell them about your product, like how does it work or what is it like, what does it start with? Like how big is it? Probably they're wondering, like it goes indoors, right? This isn't an outdoor, like it goes in like your kitchen. Am I wrong?
Yeah,
about that?
It would be, I guess, just that's the beauty of it. It really goes in any place you want. It's about 4-ish feet by 3 feet. We have the exact dimensions on the website. I can't remember them offhand right off the top, but it's about the size of a small coffee table. It plants 24 cups, so that's 24 plants. It comes with its lights, and it comes with everything you need to grow, and incredibly simply. So that was the main goal going into when we started it off. We knew we had to have a kind of a central theme we're building around. So we built it around the idea of simplicity, something that anybody can do. You don't have to be hydroponic expert. You don't even have to know anything about gardening. Affordable, because you want it so it can pay for itself. You want it so when people start growing food, they actually start saving money after a certain amount of time. They pay for the system, and then everything on that's just gravy. And then the last one being like effective. We want it to do what we say it does. We want it to grow food and grow a variety of food and grow it very well. And there are cysts out there, but they never nail those three. They'll be either very expensive and very complicated, but yes, they're kind of a hydroponic system. They might be small and real simple, but they're expensive and they don't grow anything. They're kind of like a novelty. So I guess we started off trying to just grow something hydroponically. We built our own kits off of some YouTube designs. We studied books and a whole bunch of things to find out why don't people have these on shelves. It must be either we're missing something, and there's no way it's as easy as we think it is. And that's what we found right away, is it's not easy. So to start off, when we were doing it, the most common way you would do it is you would have compressed bricks of peat soil. You would put them in water. They would swell up. You would put your seeds in there, and you would put them next to a windowsill. They would grow for about 2 weeks. And then you'd have to do what we call a T-word, transplant. And transplanting is horrible. It's nightmarish. And that's the first part we realized, because I don't know if you've ever had to do any transplanting via hydroponics or even moving. It's not so bad, because you have to get rid of all the soil. So if you take something 2 weeks old and try and take it out of dirt and remove all the soil and then put it usually with clay beads or perlite and then into your hydroponic system, it's like surgery. It was horrible. It was like 2 hours of just shaking and trying to get rid of every little bit of dirt and breaking plants. We lost about probably 30 to 50% of our plants after our transplanting, because it's just so stressful. Oh yeah, it's so hard on the plants too. So we thought, okay, this has to stop. This is ridiculous. There's no way that people are going to buy something. You have to do this. We don't even like doing this. So
one of the things I felt like I noticed right away in your pictures, which my listeners kind of like sometimes laugh at me, but like everything's so clean, and it's like there's no dirt falling on your floor, or like, you know, and that is something I notice about transplanting when Mike does it. It's a very delicate, intricate process. I'm like, he's transplanting his, you know, pepper seeds or snapdragons or things in the spring, you know,
and there's so much time it takes to get to that point. Like even 2 weeks, that's a lot of time you're waiting. You really don't want to, you know, pinch it too hard or rip off the roots or something along those lines. So yeah, it's horrible. And like you say, the hydroponic systems they're very clean. They have that futuristic look because of it, but it's anything but futuristic. It's been around for about 70 years, and it's something even the Aztecs used way, way back in the day. It's just something recently, with technology kind of developing, it's becoming more and more accessible, and it's something that everyday people, and especially with kits like ours, literally everyday people can start doing their own stuff, and it gives you the ability to grow where you just couldn't grow before.
I like that part. Because, like, last year I had a guinea pig in my classroom, and just being, like, he ate 2 heads of lettuce a day. And lettuce was up to $3 a head here, because, like, I don't know what happened, if there was a lettuce shortage or something, but I'm like, seriously? All of a sudden I'm going from being 99 cents or $1.69 for a head of lettuce to $3, and this guinea pig's eating 2 of them a day for, like, the month of March before I could get anything growing. And so we did put in like 2 little tiny lettuce beds in my classroom that were just like in little, you know, I don't know, like a seed thing. And that got us through the end of the school year, but.
Oh, wow.
You know.
That's impressive, actually. Yeah. I don't know what happened with lettuce either. It's absurd. Like ours is the same here. It's like $4 to $5 per head. It's like, holy cow. So, but.
Now it's finally come back down, but I don't really buy lettuce as much in the summer. I'll go to the farmer's market if I can, but yeah. So that's like another thing. Like, let me tell you, that guinea pig eats a lot more lettuce than most people do. My kids would pick dandelions for him in like May, and they would bring in like a whole, we would like stuff the cage and he would just eat it all. And they'd be like, oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he really liked his greens.
That's good. That's good. We had one, but we'd feed it lettuce kind of more as a treat. But
people I got him from said, don't give him the pellets that you buy at the store and give him fresh hay. So this one cowgirl substitute teacher brought me in a flake of hay from her farm, and we gave him the hay, but then we would subsidize it with the lettuce. And I don't know, I just felt like it. Then I finally broke down and bought the pellets because the custodian's like, how much of this hay are we going to spread around the hall and the classroom and everywhere? And it just like, and besides, it was like running, I was going broke. And so I finally just bought the pellets. And then we went to like just subsidizing him. But in the beginning, he was eating just a ton of hay. So anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't really think about it. You're like, oh, I got to go grab a head of lettuce for the guinea pig. And then it really started adding up there for a while. Anyway.
That's funny.
So tell us more about the system.
Yeah, for sure. So that was the first step we wanted to do, is remove that transplanting step. And this was where the majority of the, I guess, the innovation came in, if you could call it that. So the big problems you run into, we wanted a system you could just drop whatever seed you want and you're done. You just put it in the cup and through some kind of magic, it does the rest. And that was kind of the end goal. The problem when you have seeds is you can't just completely soak them in water and leave them like that. You want to give them a nice dark, damp environment. But if you keep an environment damp and dark, or if you keep it damp and there's light there, you start to run into fungal problems. You start to get stuff that starts to kill your plant, algae. It's just all not good. So it's kind of that balance of trying to have all the things a seed needs, but still have the environment to grow. So we started off with kind of designing wick-like systems that would have wick the water up to the peat moss, and it would swell with the seed inside. But it didn't work very good, and it was just super complicated. We're like, I don't know how the heck we'd ever build this, a ton of these, you know, for kits and stuff like that. So we started to still stick with that whole wicking idea. It's kind of a self-watering method. And eventually we sourced some really, really cool material. It's sort of naturally sourced. It's made from rocks called rock wool. There's a bunch of versions of it. The one that we did is just perfect for what we do, but it has a cool property where it wicks. It'll draw water up. So at certain heights, you get ideal kind of water to air ratio. It's not super wet, so you're not soaking the seed, but it also has some antifungal properties. And it's also readily available and easy to mass produce. So it's really affordable for people to keep using this. So that was kind of the first step. We now had something that could bring that water up to the seed. We wanted now a way to kind of protect the seed, give it a shell, give it a coating that keeps it from, you know, getting fungus, getting that damp, stagnant air from causing a bunch of bacteria or fungus, pests, things to start growing over it. And that's kind of where the rest of the cup design came into. So it's an ideal height, so it keeps it dark, but when it finally does sprout, it can get its way to the light nice and easy. It's long enough that it's not submerged in the water, but still short enough that the roots can get to the water in a timely fashion, so it can really start growing. And that was the biggest piece. So we wanted the scariest thing, I think, for anybody, if they are going to start up something, is, can someone do this cheaper than me? And then just like, I have a great idea I developed, now so-and-so just sees it and it's like, oh, I'll just make the exact same thing way cheaper than you and push you out of business. So that's where it's always looming, right? So we thought, okay, well, let's see if we can patent this idea. And through pretty long process, it's a process. We were successfully able to get our patent through, and we're patent pending at the moment. So we'll hear back in the States and in Canada. So that gives us a nice, you know, it's the ability for us to produce it and keep the values that we have with this company and what we want to do without getting pushed out by a huge corporation that just, you know, makes it cheaper than us and can just completely outproduce us. So that part's exciting too. And then the rest of it was kind of designing the kit in such a way that it didn't need a bunch of moving parts. It all just clips into place, that you don't have any leaks. You have all the other kind of engineering pieces. You have optimal flow. You have good light exposure. You have ideal space between your plants so they can grow, but it's compact enough. You can have it in all your different places, supports all the weight that's there, all that kind of stuff. And really, when it comes down to, I think we nailed it. I'm pretty, and I guess to top everything off, and that's probably the coolest thing about it, is it's very universal. So where we're very unique is you can use any seed you want. You can use seeds from the local grocery store. You can use your own seeds, and you just drop it in. You don't have to do anything after that. We've proven it numerous times. We have tons of prototypes out there. All have been very successful. Drop the seed, you're done. You can use different lights. You can use different nutrients. You don't even need lights. You can just have it out on your balcony or outside. It's very universal. Anything that you can do with hydroponics, you can do with this, and then it just becomes something that's much more affordable than traditional hydroponic systems and simpler.
I still always, whenever I talk to anybody about hydroponics or aquaponics, like, have these visions of, like, this being in the grocery store. And you go into the grocery store, and instead of, like, you're getting that wet lettuce on the shelf that's sitting there getting, like, soaked, you're, like, going to go up to, like, instead of, like, the fish guy, you're going to go up to the produce guy, and the produce guy is going to cut your lettuce right there in the store. And the other place I see your thing...
That'd be so cool.
...is in the restaurant. Because then, because, you know, the big thing people are always saying that restaurants, like, you know, they want their special herbs. And you can see, like, I can see each one of those little cups, like, this one's going to hold the cilantro, and this one's going to have the key lime basil, and this one's going to have the, you know, each herb. So the restaurants are having the fresh herbs growing right there in their own kitchen. Like, to me, I don't know. I just see it.
I don't have to completely close my eyes or anything. That's such a cool idea. And that's the real neat thing. Even when you do kind of get to that point where you're harvesting even at home, is just that, right? Like, instead of having to go to, and you probably have the same thing with an organic garden, there's something just amazing about being able to walk outside, grab what you need, or in this case, walk in the closet or whatever, go to your indoor garden, grab what you need, and then prepare your meal. Like, it's such a cool experience. You don't have to wash it, which is pretty unique. And you just prepare it and you're done. It's really, really neat. It reminds me a little bit of we grew up on a farm with a big garden, and just kind of going outside and picking up a carrot and brushing it off on your clothes when you're a kid and eating it. It's just the coolest thing to just have it that accessible.
I totally just ate, like, I was like, came up with this new thing that's called lollipop golden beets, because, like, my husband said, when you pick the beets, when you cook them, you're not supposed to cut the roots or, like, the first 3 inches of the stem off. You're supposed to do that after you boil them, because then it keeps the nutrients in the root. And so I was kind of peeling the one end, and then I just turned it upside down and was eating it like a lollipop, because, oh, this is the first year we've ever grown golden beets. And Mike came in and he's like, look at that, farmed a table in 5 minutes. And it was true. It was pretty fast, pretty fresh. Fresh food is definitely, there's, like, I feel like I've just, well, Mike planted this mini farm 2 years ago, and, like, you know, things are just starting to come into harvest the last week. You know, we picked, like, 6 heads of broccoli yesterday, I think, and fresh Swiss chard we've been picking for a long time. But, like, potatoes, like, today was the first golden beets meal. It's just, everything is so delicious. Absolutely fresh is way better.
That's awesome. I'm happy to hear that. Our seasons are a little bit staggered, I imagine. We have the garden here, and I'm thinking probably about 2 more weeks we can probably look at picking things out. The potatoes and carrots might be ready. Peas still got a little ways to go. But the thing that killed us is just we had some huge hailstorms, and it just sucks, because you get all psyched up, and then all of a sudden it just gets crushed. But hopefully we can salvage a bit of it.
Aww. Well, hopefully it just hurt the leaves, and the main fruits and vegetables are okay. And the potatoes should be good, because they're underground, unless it just killed the plants.
And I'm thinking even probably the carrots are okay. The peas look like they took a licking, but, like you say, it might come around. You know, just need some good
weather. Well, if there's one thing I've learned from this show, is usually some things are going to get ruined, some things aren't going to make it, some things you're not going to be able to control, but some things are going to grow enough that everybody's inspired to do it year after year. So I'll bet some things are going to come out. And, like, the other thing about your thing, I was thinking my listeners are probably turning in their heads. Like, I'm always talking about, I want a kitchen garden, like a garden that's right outside my door. Because our mini farm is, like, you know, in the city, it's almost not a block away, but it's, like, pretty far away from my house. And, like, our regular garden I used to complain was at the bottom of the hill, because I want something right outside my kitchen. And so this is practically just that. It's, like, inside my kitchen or in the house, or could be on the porch or wherever people want to put it. And so my listeners know this is so up my alley, because I'm, you know, you already know we've been trying to deal with our schedules, and, like, you know, I get busy, and sometimes cooking food gets to be, you know, something that doesn't happen. You know, I end up eating a lot of fast food a lot, because just the time and things. So
exactly.
It's nice to, it would be super nice to have something like that.
No, and that's exactly how we envision it. It is. It's a really cool idea that you can just walk into the next room and pick what you need. And we tried to make the system attractive enough that it's not something you have to hide, right? You can have it in your living room it's a really cool piece for conversation.
No, I think it would look really pretty. Like, I think it's like having natural, you know, that was something I realized in my classroom this year, having all those extra plants. Like, I had more shelves and more space to put stuff than I do in my house at home. We have a pretty small cabin here, and so we don't have a lot of indoor house plants. And it just, like, when I saw them really thrive in my classroom, I felt like we were all healthier because we had those plants. And I think, like, having this living food right there has got to be healthy for you, like a good environment to be around. And it's like fun. It's like having like a little miniature garden in your house. You could decorate it with like little fairy plants or something if you wanted, or some people could do all sorts of different creative things.
No, exactly. It is. And there is, there's something about having green stuff where you're living. It just sprucens you right up. And especially if you can have that, like we were like, well, with the garden, we were able to grow peppers in the middle of winter. Right. So to be able to go downstairs and have a big pepper plant in the basement that you can pick off of in the middle of winter is pretty, it's a pretty cool experience too. It keeps that kind of summer vibe going on throughout the long winter months. So
now, am I remembering, did I see something on your website that also it uses less water than conventional, like regular organic growing in your garden?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and this is kind of based off of a lot of studies that they've been doing with hydroponics, but yeah, 20 times less water than what you'd use in a soil garden per plant. So, because every bit of water just, it runs through, it cycles back, and it just keeps going until the plant uses it. So it's so efficient in that sense. And for 24 plants, once they're fully mature, you might go through about 5 gallons of water, about a week, and every bit of it's being used. It's not like you're, you know, planting and it just goes into the ground and you have to wait to put more water on. It's really, really efficient in that sense. And it typically grows quite a bit faster because you control every element of it. It's got, you know, our basement is sunny days all day, every day year round, which really helps things grow.
And they say, like when I talked to Richard Wiswall, who's like the master of business farming, and he's retired now, but you know, he did farmers markets for years, and when he talks about greenhouse tomatoes, he's like, tomatoes, people give greenhouse tomatoes a bad rap, but actually it's like providing a tomato with its perfect conditions that it loves and making sure it gets the exact amount of water and the exact amount of light, and that tomatoes really thrive better in that kind of an environment.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's it's exactly what it is, right? You're doing everything kind of the same. You're just trying to do it in a place where it might not be able to happen all the time. So you have light very similar to the sun. You have temperatures very similar to what you'd have on a nice summer day. And then you're just giving it all the nutrients it needs, not too much, not too little. It has all the water it wants. It's protected from pests. It doesn't have to worry about deer going out to eat it or you know, getting some bugs or stuff like that. It's as clean as your house, right? So it's just so much better for the plant, and it's probably better for you as you're living with it. So,
and then it almost looks like it almost just like in this one design that it's almost like sitting on the floor. Like, could you put like a table over it, or is that where the lights are? But like even over that, like it doesn't, it almost seems like it doesn't take up that much room at all.
No, yeah. And you probably could do a few things. Our goal long term, and it's one of those, as if this starts to do well, is to start making it vertical, making them so you can stack them on top of each other so you can really make use of that footprint that you have. And I'm sure there's a bunch of things you can do, kind of hang things off of it. You can, yeah, do a bunch. It would be a little tricky, I guess, with something that blocks the light, but I'm looking forward to see what the Hope community comes up with for ideas that they can find with the kits. Definitely.
Okay. Well, what else have we not talked about? Do you want to, have we mentioned like what you can grow in there? Like, is it just salad greens, or can you put anything in there, or?
No, for sure. Definitely that there's things that do really well with hydroponics. And it's not just salad greens, tomatoes, cucumbers do fantastic. Lately we've been really trying to push the boundaries of just about anything that you can grow. And we've had really good success with just about everything. I have a hard time listing about everything off. We've done chili peppers. We've done green peppers. We've done broccoli, cauliflower, various beans. We are doing squash right now. And it's cool to see how it's been working out. Really good success with the green. So, and that's, and it just, that in and of itself is enough for it to pay for itself.
Just
growing lettuce. And if you have 24 plants growing lettuce, it usually takes about a month and a half before you're ready to harvest them. The system, if you're, what we're paying here in Canada, $3 to $4 a lettuce. I mean, the system pays for itself in less than half a year. And that's growing something that's relatively very cheap. You can do kale, spinach. We've been trying to get into kind of the weirder stuff just to kind of see what we're capable of. We're trying out some strawberries, spinach, and a few of the other herbs, things like cilantro and those things.
What about, like, the other thing that I was thinking that this would make a little bit easier, that's always hard for me, is succession planning. Like, because, like, even arugula. So I just planted this new arugula bed. I planted a whole lettuce bed, like, the end of, like, I'm hoping it's going to be my fall bed. I think I planted it, like, the last week of July. And so it's just coming up. And already I have probably 50 or 75 arugula plants coming up. And instead of only planting 10 of them one day and 10 of them a couple of days later and 10 of them a couple of days later. And I was thinking, now this might be my solution for that.
It very well could be. And that's the one thing I think that's great about it, is it's not just for the hydroponic crowd. I mean, you can grow throughout the winter. You can kind of preset, you know, you don't have to, harvest time isn't the end of it. Now you get to start planting again just when the snow starts to fall. So I'm sure you guys get quite a bit of snow even in Montana. Here, it's the same thing. It could be as early as September. So it's nice to know, hey, it's the gardening season isn't over. And so that's the one part that I think that a lot of people can find a lot of different uses for it, and just keep having fresh food. And the best part, and that's, I think, where it really coincides with the organic community really well, is it's all chemical free. Like my friend, he was doing one of our prototypes, and just one of the things he texted me really kind of stood out to me is they grew some beans. They did really well. And they said it was cool because they could just pick it off and eat it. They don't have to wash it. There's not even a concern that they would have to wash it. It's been in there. You know, it's been in that room in their house the whole time. It's as clean as can be. It's a really neat kind of experience to know that it's completely chemical free, and you can use a variety of nutrients that are completely organic, like guano. They got the bone meal. They've got a whole bunch of organic based nutrients that you can use to do it in a very environmentally friendly way. And it's the exact same mentality as organic. It's a very sustainable, very holistic approach to growing food.
Awesome. And I think the other thing is, because I've talked to a couple of people who have been like, oh, gardening, I can never get anything to grow. I have a brown thumb. And that this might be also a good solution for people like that, which I'm kind of that way too. I mean, my husband's really, like, nothing would be growing here if my husband wasn't here, like, making sure that it worked. Like, yeah, all right. I did go plant that little bed, and I've been pretty good about watering it. But, you know, vacation's over next week too, so that's going to be the end of any of it for me, so... you know, but people who, like, you know, work a full-time job and come home late and just, you know, because for me, a lot of times during the summer, there'll be 3 to 5 days will go by where I won't even get to my garden. Like, it's just, it doesn't happen. It's just,
oh, exactly.
You know, then it's in the way. And so, especially with my podcast. So, anyway, that was one thought I was thinking about.
No, that makes perfect. That's
tools?
What I hate.
Do people have to have tools to make this work? Is there any kind of special tools or anything people need?
Not really. Like, again, the cool part about the system, we've sourced a balance between what works the best and what's the most affordable. Because, I mean, it's just about with anything, you can pay as much as you want for anything. But there's definitely some things in hydroponics that have huge impacts, and that's like your lights, the nutrients that you use. As far as specific tools, not so much. I mean, we're trying to limit the amount of any work that people do. We've worked it out to about 15 minutes a month of maintenance for the system. So I guess the one tool would be a knife and a bowl, because you're going to have a lot of lettuce to eat.
I love that. You know, we haven't told people where they can get this yet. They can't even get it yet, right? And you're going to be doing a Kickstarter campaign soon? Or can they order them? Or?
Yeah, so it's tricky because we really want to make sure that we can give it at a price that's what we're going to say it is. Mm-hmm. And we haven't quite gotten all the stuff back from the people when it comes to manufacturing to know how much each piece is going to cost. But the best way to do it is on our website at hopeinnovations.ca. There's just a community button and you can sign up, and then that will give you some emails as we progress. And I'm like, I'm obsessive. I hate people who spam. So I'm not going to spam anybody. And I'm the only guy who's going to be sending out anything, but it's going to be just stuff related to when Kickstarter starts, prices on systems. And that's going to be where it'll be. So at Kickstarter, you'll be able to pre-buy the whole system at a tremendously discounted price from what it's going to be after Kickstarter. And just kind of to get the ball rolling, that'll give us some capital so that we can start the manufacturing process. And then we also know that people are interested in the idea, because that's kind of where we're at now, is just try and get enough awareness so that if we do have a Kickstarter program, we can have some success and make something of this.
Awesome. Before we get to the root of things, we're going to take a moment to thank our sponsors, my good friend, Dacia Daly from Simply Josephine.
It's all about handcrafted soaps and apron love here at Simply Josephine. Located in Montana's beautiful Tobacco Valley, I create everything from my home studio. Currently, I offer 6 different kinds of handmade soaps, 3 different salves, using wildcrafted plant medicine from right here in our beautiful valley. In addition to my body care products, I also make several styles of aprons. Everything is available at simplyjosephine.com. We want to share a little love with the Organic Gardener Podcast listeners. We're offering 15% off. Use code OGP15 at checkout. Thanks and have a beautiful day. simplyjosephine.com.
The Organic Gardener Podcast is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/OGP for Organic Gardener Podcast to support the show and see if you qualify. Over half of Health IQ customers save between 4 to 33% on their life insurance. These savings are exclusive to Health IQ customers because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, a 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people just like you, green future growers. Like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/OGP or mention the promo code OGP when you talk to a Health IQ agent.
We get to the root of things. What's your favorite recipe to cook from the garden?
Favorite pet recipe to cook? It wouldn't be cooking, but I would say I absolutely love pickled carrots. Like garden pickled carrots, I don't think last me much a month after I make them. They're just so good. So that would be, I would say that's mine. Just about pickled anything.
Do you pickle
so
carrots?
Good.
Do you use like, I mean, I'm thinking of like dill pickles, or do you use like a special kind of broth? Or I guess Mike just pickled beets. Are they like that?
Yeah, it's dill. I have to embarrassingly admit, my mom's the one with the secret ingredients, and I just kind of help so I can have access to the carrots. I'll help cut them up and put everything in the jar. I don't know the ingredients. I think it's just kind of a dill, kind of a garlic, and then maybe something for a little bit of a bite, a little bit of a pepper. But it's I doubt it's that complicated, but it is so good. I can eat those years year round. That would be my favorite one, I would say. That is something I look forward to at the end of every harvest is the pickled carrots. So good.
I can totally relate because Mike's pickled beets are what I put on all winter long instead of tomatoes on my salad. That's my favorite.
Yes,
because who can buy a tomato from the store after you're used to homegrown tomatoes?
Exactly. Especially right. Organic ones.
So I do kind of like ask a question about business. Like if you have any business advice, like do you have anything that you've learned? Like you're still in the beginning steps, but like is there something that like went really well that in the journey, or something that you wish you could do over that hasn't gone well to begin with, or any advice for listeners if they were going to start a new business?
Oh, for sure. I would say the biggest thing is, and I would say that'd almost be my quote, as silly as it sounds, it'd be Dory from Finding Nemo, which is just keep swimming. Like, it's a tough go, and you can probably relate with the podcast. It's a lot of work, and at times it's not going to be fun, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be that way, and you have to expect it, and you got to keep swimming. You can't give up just because it's starting to get tough. If there's one thing I would want to say, I'd want to change back, it's just kind of, it took me too long to realize that it's not something I should quit just because it starts to become not fun, or it becomes hard, or it's something that I'm getting burnt out on. You know, try and balance starting up with your real life so you don't get burnt out. But if it's something hard worth doing, it means that it's something that's going to mean something later on. Something that's easy to do usually isn't something that you should, you know, it's not something you're going to be proud of at the end. It's those hard things that are really worth doing. So, and as far as business, that's what I would say, is just keep at it. Don't give up early. Don't think that just because a problem came up that it's not meant to be. And I'm going to keep doing that. Hopefully this does succeed. But I know with that mentality, at the very least, you stay positive and you make sure that you keep pushing through.
Wow, I love that. And you're right with the podcast. Well, I always say, I mean, well, my life is definitely a journey. I mean, I've been blessed with an amazing life, but it's definitely with the podcast, it's a marathon. And so I tell people, like, it's like 4 years of college. Like, freshman year is pre-launch. When you launch your sophomore, when you grow, you're a junior, and when you start to monetize, you're a senior. And it's almost been 4 years for me. I'm like right at, I joined Podcasters Paradise in April of 2014. So I'm still only really 3 years in, just going into my senior year. So that's the way I have been looking
at
it.
That's a good stage.
Yeah. So, and I finally got commissions from Amazon, knock on wood, for 2 months in a row after. So listeners are, and then I also got like, signed on with Audible so that listeners can get a deal through Audible for, like, if they order an Audible book. So that's cool. And then, like I was telling you, which hopefully my listeners will have heard about this before our show airs, but now this Progressive Radio Network reached out to me, and they're going to start carrying our show on Monday nights. This is some radio station out of New York that has all these other progressive hosts, which is kind of nice to be grouped with them. And the best part about it was he said, well, we were looking for a gardening show, and we reached out to our listeners, and they said they recommended you, and then I listened to the show, and I loved it. That's what the general manager
told me.
So, I mean, doesn't get much better than that. So,
That's pretty cool.
But I'm just the humble host. It's because of amazing millennials and other great guests like you out there that are changing our world. So, and I just love the way you, like, you know, saw this problem and came up with a solution, and especially your whole little engineering story, because I'm always telling my kids, we need more engineers. Steve Jobs says we need engineers. We need engineers. Why don't you become an engineer? And there was this really cool Goldilocks commercial. I don't know what happened to it, but this girl that had this company called Goldilocks, and she had this commercial encouraging kids to be engineers that I just loved. But anyway, do you have anything you want to tell listeners that I've forgotten, or are you ready for my final question, or what do you think?
I think that sums it up pretty good.
Yeah, I think we
nothing
did a
comes
good job.
To mind.
Okay, so here we go. It's kind of a doozy. If there's one change you'd like to see to create a greener world, what would it be, Ryan? For example, is there a charity organization you're passionate about? Is there a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
Right. Oh, man, I can't believe I completely forgot about a pretty big thing, actually. So my biggest thing that I would say is what we need for a greener planet is, it's the education. It's the opportunity for people to have what they need to really make a difference in the world. So I would say the key pieces is the learning to read and write, and then having access to the world's information. Like, I was super fortunate that I have Google and YouTube and books and podcasts like this that I can listen to and get experts' opinions in a very short amount of time, and learn so much in, like, just always at my fingertips. That really is what I think the world needs. And actually our company I just finished talking to the one nonprofit organization. I completely forgot about this. So we're going to be donating a certain amount of money from each kit for that exact purpose. There's a really good organization called Child's Dream, and they work out of Thailand in some very impoverished areas, kind of half war-torn and lots of rebels. And the kids don't have schools. They don't have, if they do have schools, they certainly don't have stationery. And if they have stationery, the teachers don't have stationery. So it's a place where you can do a lot of good. And for a very small price, what we're hoping to do would be giving 5 kids their stationery for a year for each kit that you buy. And then another portion of the money would go to supply that next piece, which is just teaching material, things that once they learn to read and write, they have access to knowledge that they can build ideas, and they can get the best of the best's opinions so that they can do the right thing the first time. So that's what I would say is the biggest problem. And that's the solution that we hope to do at Hope. That is going to be something we're going to have with every one of our kits. We're working it out to about $15 per each kit. So that'll give 5 kids their supplies for the year. And then a portion of it's also going to be giving them all the material that they need so that after they're done, they have access.
I love that. I hope we get to meet in person someday. You and I like have a lot in common, especially I've been thinking about that so much this year. Because like one of my big goals is to drive. Like, I'm totally scared of heights. And so I forced myself to drive over Logan's Pass this summer for the first time. And I actually ended up doing it 3 times. And so I'm like, you know, hands gripped to the steering wheel, totally terrified, knees shaking. And I'm like, so one time I'm listening to Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within. And while I'm listening to that, I'm thinking, and you know, he's going on about, you know, what could you do if you could change like every, I mean, like think bigger. And he like mentions all these like suggestions, like, you know, do this or do that. And I was like, if I could do anything, like my biggest goal would definitely be like, you know, end war. Like, but beyond that would be like every kid everywhere, no matter, I don't care where you're born, you have a preschool through college education. You have access to it. Like, you get to go to school. And the other thing is you have to have healthy food, access to healthy food and healthy water, because there's no point in going to school if you're hungry and your brain's not nourished. And just to me, that is not mandatory. Like, we don't have that in place right now on our planet. And that's why I love millennials so much, because you guys are going to get there. You know, my generation, we thought that was Obama, was like, we can do this. We're the generation that can change. And then he just like, and I just feel like, you know, this pendulum's going to switch and we're going to get there. And just, that's something I just think millennials, to me, I see that social responsibility in them. They feel that. They feel that empathy for, you know, just because you're born in the United States doesn't mean that you should have these, you know, opportunities that other kids, like every kid deserves those opportunities. And I think you just summed that up so well. So I'll put the links to Child's Dream in the show notes, along with the links to everything, to your website and your Kickstarter campaign and your Facebook page. And I like your Facebook page, so I'm gonna have to keep following that. I love that little joke thing. I wanted to start my podcast off with having all my guests have to bring a garden joke, like my first episode, which is so funny because I have no sense of humor whatsoever. So I'm like, I better start my show out with a garden joke, but I couldn't come up. I was like, forget it, that's just not gonna work. It just seemed too hard right away. I couldn't find enough good garden jokes. So
I love bad puns, so that's where, yeah, I love, that's where the garden jokes, I think, just thrive, the turn up the beat and all that stuff. It's, that's my world. I love the bad puns.
Cool. Me too. So just my last thing is just like, do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt or their hydroponic nutrients and start their own garden?
The virtual dirt. I guess, again, I will go back to Dory, the wise Dory with just keep swimming. It's that I I'm still pretty young. I don't want to act like I have much for answers, but it's not, you don't want to quit just because it gets hard. And don't let people tell you that because it's hard means that you should quit. It's just so important that you keep going, because it's, you're never going to make it anywhere that matters if the second you run into a hurdle you just turn around and go back. So that's everything. It's just keep pushing. It's so easy to say, but it's so important to do.
What's that one quote about, what is it about, like the difference between people or something about, you know, doing it's the person who does something or doing the easy thing. Most people won't do the easy thing. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I can't think of that quote.
I should know that too, because that's,
you know what
right
I'm talking
like
about. You know, it's like do what others won't do, so that, you know, successful people like do 90% of what people won't do.
Right, right. Kind of that, like the that. I don't know. I guess like a way to sum it up is the top 1% of success is because they're, you know, they're going to do the 99% of what people give up on, kind of thing.
Right. I can't remember but what it is. I'm totally blanking out. If I think of it before I air this, I'll try to throw it in there. Anyway, Ryan, thank you so much for spending all this time with us today. I know this interview went longer than I thought it would. And, I really appreciate, I love your design and your passion and the way you're trying to help people make things accessible and come up with a solution for people. I could see one of these in my house for sure. So I hope everybody will go sign up for your subscribe list so that they can keep in the loop. And when it comes out, support your Kickstarter campaign, whether it's, you know, joining on or sharing it or just telling people, and just good luck with everything. And let's stay in touch.
For sure. Thank you so much there, Jackie. This was a lot of fun.
Okay. Did we tell everybody your website? Say it again, just in case.
www.hopeinnovation.ca.
Okay, so it's .ca and not .com. And that was one mistake I made. So let's make sure people know that. So Hope Innovation, HOPEINNOVATION.ca for Canada. HopeInnovation.ca. So... all right. And then you can find them on Facebook, and we'll see you there. So, and Kickstarter.
And thanks, Kickstarter. Ryan. Thanks.
Hey, Green Future Growers. Don't forget to get your copy of the 2018 Organic Gardener Podcast Garden Journal and Data Keeper, available now at Amazon.com for $16.95. It's a place to keep track of your organic gardening journey, where you can record temperature, weather, recipes, produce that you grew, produce that you bought, and just all your successes and failures and challenges and dreams for the future, all your garden goals. Keep them track of them in one place. 225 pages that will go through each week of the year for the 2018 year. And just there's blank pages in there where you can sketch or write or do anything that will help you record your journey. So don't forget to get a copy of the 2018 Garden Journal and Data Keeper, available at Amazon. You can go to the organicgardenerpodcast.com/2018 for the link. Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at organicgardenerpodcast.com. That's just organicgardenerpodcast.com. And it will link right to the show notes and all that we've talked about on today's show. If you like what you've heard today, we'd love it if you would head over to iTunes and give us a hopefully 5-star review. It really helps us get found and share the knowledge with other listeners. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.